Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning, everybody. And welcome to worship this morning. In the way of announcement, we're not having Bible study until after Easter. We are having the fish dinners every Friday for the next three Fridays. We already had the first one, and so come to those. And the Lenten lunches are continuing on Tuesdays at 11:45 at Central Presbyterian Church just across the street. Was there anything else we wanted to announce this morning? Then let us take a moment to prepare our hearts and minds to worship God. And friends, let us rise in body or in spirit for the call to worship. The heavens declare the glory of God.
The earth proclaims God's handiwork.
In speech without words, their voices are heard.
In praise without language, their sounds extend throughout creation.
The law of God is perfect, reviving the soul.
The teachings of God are sure, making the simple wise.
The precepts of God are right, and the heart rejoices.
The ordinances of God are true, and are righteous altogether.
Come and proclaim with the heavens the glory and majesty of our God. And let us pray. God of majesty and might, when we fail to hear the heavens proclaim your glory in speech without words, open our ears to perceive your precepts, in the singing of the stars, and in the music of the sun and moon. When we fail to perceive the wonder of your law, in every act of kindness and mercy, and in every act of devotion, revive our souls with your wisdom, and heal our hearts with your ways. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. scripture is from Genesis 4, verses 1 through 10. Adam and Eve had a son. Then Eve said, "I'll name him Cain, because I got him with the help of the Lord." Later she had another son and named him Abel. Abel became a sheep farmer, but Cain farmed the land. One day Cain gave part of his harvest to the Lord, and Abel also gave an offering to the Lord. He killed the firstborn lamb from one of his sheep and gave the Lord the best parts of it. The Lord was pleased with Abel and his offering, but not with Cain and his offering. This made Cain so angry that he could not hide his feelings. The Lord said to Cain, "What's wrong with you? Why do you have such an angry look on your face? If you had done the right thing, you would be smiling. But you did the wrong thing, and now sin is waiting to attack you like a lion. Sin wants to destroy you, but don't let it." Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go for a walk." And when they were out in a field, Cain killed him. Afterwards, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is Abel?" "How should I know?" he answered. "Am I supposed to look after my brother?" Then the Lord said, "Why have you done this terrible thing? You killed your own brother, and his blood flowed onto the ground. Now his blood is calling out for me to punish you." And our second reading is from Matthew 12, verses 46 through 50. While Jesus was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and brothers came and stood outside because they wanted to talk with him. Someone told Jesus, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside and want to talk with you." Jesus answered, "Who is my mother, and who are my brothers?" Then he pointed to his disciples and said, "These are my mother and my brothers. Anyone who obeys my Father in heaven is my brother or sister or mother." This is the word of the Lord.
Friends, will you pray with me, please? O Lord our God, you are love, living and dancing through creation. You are light, challenging and purifying our hearts. You are peace, deep and unfathomable, working through and beyond all pain and conflict. We praise you for the gift of life itself. We praise you for our fragile and beautiful planet. We praise you for the richness and variety of different races and cultures. We praise you for human love and laughter, and we praise you for the sheer fun of celebration. Use us now as channels of blessing for those who need it, for all victims of famine and victims of hunger, for all victims of war, for victims of hatred, violence, prejudice, and injustice, for the ill, for the depressed, for the lonely, for those longing to be alone, and for those who have lost hope of finding a home or finding work. In your mercy, Lord, hear all of our prayers. Risen Christ, breaking the bonds of evil and death, shine on us and on those for whom we pray with your eyes of compassion and glory. Let your light flood the darkness and in our world and make us bearers of your healing for people, your delight in this planet, and your outrageously generous forgiveness on which we all depend. We lift up this and all of our prayers in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we pray to call God our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You are the
friends, as you can see, we're doing something different with the sermon this morning. This is something that I put together that Sean and I are going to recite together. Sean gets to start off the sermon instead of me this week.
Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sights, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen. So this is the second week of the sermon series that I've put together based on Trevor Hudson's book, Questions God Asks Us. And this week we look at the Cain and Abel story from the fourth chapter of Genesis to find God's question, which he asks Cain after he kills Abel. Where is your brother?
Talk about a dysfunctional family. I mean, think about it. We're talking about the very first murder in the Bible, and there's lots of violence yet to come. We're only in the fourth chapter of Genesis, and this murder happens in the Bible's first family.
It makes you think about human nature, doesn't it? Because how did this story get so violent so fast? At this point, there were only four people on the entire planet, just these two brothers and their parents. They didn't have any enemies at all. They were family.
But we lash out at each other all the time, even though we're family.
In fact, the first time these two brothers even so much as get their wires crossed, it turns deadly. Cain gets jealous that God favored Abel's sacrifice over his, so he invites Abel to go take a walk with him, and then he kills him.
That escalated quickly.
It sure did.
Even when there's only four people on Earth, that's more than enough. Cain is like all of us. We get jealous, we feel insecure and inadequate, we don't understand each other, and we fear what we don't understand. We act on impulse, we lash out, we resort to violence just because we can, and we don't use our heads, and we definitely don't use our hearts. We wreak all kinds of havoc before we even know what we've done.
And then God breaks through all of that chaos with reason. Where is your brother?
And then, when we already have blood on our hands, we make it even worse when we can't even take responsibility for our actions.
And we have no remorse. When God asks us what happened to our missing brother or sister, we say, we're not our brother's keeper. It's not our problem. We don't care. Author and Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel suggested that it's not hate that's the opposite of love. It's indifference. It's apathy.
Our apathy toward our brothers and sisters is our greatest sin. We seek God's help in restoring our warped, Cain-like hearts to the ones that love our human family and are willing to be our brother's keeper.
Hudson suggests that when God asks us, where is your brother, that we have three categories of brother. The first is those that are closest to us, our literal brothers, if we have them, our family, our friends, and our neighbors. It's really hard to be good to one another, to take care of each other. It's complicated. The very first family was one of the most dysfunctional in the history of the entire world. So this is timeless. It's really hard to love, to be selfless, to take care of each other. But even on the really bad days, do we remember that the people that God puts closest to us in our lives are a blessing, a gift, something not to be taken for granted?
And Hudson goes beyond that, though, and he really pushes our buttons. He suggests the second category of brother is people we don't like, the people we might even go so far as to call our enemies. The people who harm us, the people who are against the things we value. Does God expect us to be their keeper too? It almost seems reasonable to be apathetic towards our enemies. I mean, at least that's better than hating them, right?
But apathy isn't acceptable there either. Jesus commanded us to love our enemies, full stop, to love them. Not to like them, not to agree with them or to approve of everything they do, but to work toward a world where everyone has the same opportunities to thrive and experience justice.
It's just not something any of us really want to own up to, but if we live long enough, we all eventually meet people who feel like enemies. We have them. Think about it.
Even the people that it's hardest to love, God wants us to call our brothers and sisters. Think about how radical that is. Because if you can see the person who hurts you, the person who threatens you, the person who dehumanizes you as family, then who can't you love?
But after you accomplish that feat, Hudson challenges to take it another step further.
Hudson suggests that the third category of brother is the world at large, literally everyone.
So, at least in the first two categories, they're people we know. What does God expect us to do with this one? How can God expect us to be our brother's keeper for 7 billion people that we've never met? Apathy becomes natural. How can we be our brother's keeper for people we don't even know?
It's true. We really can't. We can't help everyone. We can't take responsibility for the welfare of every single person. There's a lot here that we have to entrust to God.
But that doesn't mean we're totally powerless. Far from it.
The biggest obstacle standing in our way of taking care of our brothers and sisters all around the world isn't the enormity of the world's population or the geography that separates us from one another. It's more like these imaginary boundaries that we put up between ourselves, these lines that we're afraid to cross. Because when we see that we have differences between us, we decide that we can't possibly completely understand each other. We can't appreciate each other's struggles, griefs, joys. And so maybe we're better off remaining indifferent and just staying out of it. I mean, what can two light-skinned people like us possibly know about what it is to live in this world with dark skin? Maybe white people should stay out of discussions of racial equality.
What does cisgender man know about what it's like to go through this life as a woman? Maybe men should just leave feminism to women.
Maybe the able-bodied should stay silent about equal rights for people living with disabilities.
Maybe straight people should ignore LGBT rights.
Maybe middle and upper class people shouldn't talk about helping the poor.
But the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men and women to do nothing.
And we can't afford the luxury of being indifferent, of staying silent, of not being our brother's keeper. Especially now in these days of travel bans and border walls and overturning DACA.
And the Me Too movement and Black Lives Matter.
And bathroom bills and hate crimes and campus shootings.
When we stay silent, people die.
A German Lutheran pastor by the name of Martin Niemöller, who spent 7 years living in a concentration camp during the Third Reich, said this about how he got there.
First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist.
Then they came for the trade unionists. And I didn't speak out because I wasn't a trade unionist.
Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew.
Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Jesus didn't teach us to only look out for our own well-being, to take care of our own and then to ignore everybody else. In this morning's gospel story, Jesus told all the crowds around him that it's not blood that makes somebody family to him, that everyone serving God is family to him.
Even when we're not all walking the same path, we're all facing the same direction because we're all God's children. And protecting the dignity and freedom of our brothers and sisters is everyone's job.
And I could have delivered that message just standing up here by myself, but we're stronger together. Amen.
Amen.
And at this time, let us continue worshiping God by presenting our offering.
Thank you.
friends, let me pray with you. Eternal God, you have guided your people from generation to generation. Receive our lives that we may live for you. Receive our gifts that we may share your glory with the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, I invite you to receive the benediction. Our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer will guard our going out and our coming in from this time on and forevermore. And as all of God's people, we say together, Amen.
This has been God Asks Us, Where is Your Brother? With Pastor Natalie Bowerman, originally broadcast March 4th, 2018. What does it mean to be our brother's keeper in this day and age? Natalie and husband Sean share in delivering this timely message.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.